All right. Good morning. My name is Casey. I know most of you haven't seen me. I'm represented by my wife every week. So anyway, I attend the afternoon service. As April was saying, that our pastor is in Bangkok ministering. And anyway, he messaged this morning and said, oh, we are preaching on the same topic. So as we know, we are on a journey of discovering the miracles of Jesus. And I think it's amazing we have picked up so many insights about who Jesus is, because the whole purpose of doing this series is so that we can understand Jesus better, not the signs, you know. So we've been looking at the focus of this passage over here. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in his book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. I think there's so much opportunity for us to live a full and abundant life. And sometimes we miss it. And the reason is because we don't know the role and the power of Christ in our lives. And look here, it's not the signs that we want to look at. We shouldn't be getting overly enamored and excited with the signs, because the signs lead us to the person, right? It's almost like you come here, when you go downstairs, you see a big sign, right? Every Nation Church. Wow! The sign looks so big, man. So nice, and we just gather around the sign. That's what we would do sometimes, you know, look at Jesus' miracles and forget about, you know, God himself. So we've been going through week one, turning water to wine, healing the official son, healing the man born blind. And last week we heard from Brother John, talks about the feeding the 5,000. And today we are looking at walking on water. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this morning. We want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to come here and just commune with you and fellowship with you and be transformed by your word. Father, I pray that you will anoint this word that we're going to be hearing from you, Lord, and you bless this word, bring this word, come to life so that it can change and transform us from within. Open our hearts and our mind so that we get to see the true you behind the signs and the miracles. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So before I start, I'd like to set the stage, the context, because the walking on the water miracle happened after the feeding of the 5,000. So here is a map of the Lake of Galilee, or Sea of Galilee, actually. This is the second lowest lake in Israel. The lowest is the Dead Sea, but the Dead Sea is salty. This is fresh water. And because it's so low, can you see over here? Okay, where's the pointer? Right? It's so low. The Mediterranean Sea is up at a higher level. So because of the lower 600 feet under sea level, winds come and there's always storms, right? And if you take a look over here, can you see? The feeding of the 5,000 was on the desolated side. Because Capernaum, can you see over there? Capernaum, all right? Capernaum is here, right? So Capernaum is the HQ of Jesus, as you heard, right? Jesus was born in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth, and then went to Capernaum to start his ministry. So all these miracles happened around here. So now, remembering last week, we saw the amazing power of Christ able to produce, you know, so much food until the people were full. This is something that's not common during those days. People are hungry, right? And this is one guy who's able to fill them up until they fed them, until they're full, and so on. And always have what even got left over. So that is the background. And see, now there's a slight problem. Because, you know, those days, they haven't got the New Testament yet. They haven't got the Bible. So what they had was just the Pentateuch, the five books. And there is this verse in Deuteronomy 18:15 where Moses, because Moses was the main spokesperson for God, he was the prophet, right? He led the people to, you know, the desert and so forth, right? Parting the Red Sea and so on. So he was a prophet, a representative of God. And he said this once, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. This is a prophecy about Christ. From your brothers, it is him you shall listen. So remember, feeding of 5,000, oh my goodness, this is like feeding us manna. It's better than manna because there's fish, right? And bread, and we're so full. So this must be the prophet that Moses is talking about. And don't forget, We cannot imagine this, you know, because in Malaysia, we live in a free country. We are not oppressed. I was in Sudan a few years ago doing some work with the United Nations. And I tell you, there are so many things here we take for granted. Just a sense of freedom of walking outside. Over there's a civil war. I was in the truck of one of the United Nations guys taking me around. And I just take photos. No, don't take photo. I say, why? Because people will shoot you. But I say, I'm not taking, you know, government buildings and so on. He said, doesn't matter. They think you are, pew. So okay, no more, right? So these kind of things that we are talking about at that time, they were under the rule of this Romans and so on, right? And some of them were persecuted as well. So imagine now, here comes this prophet, Jesus Christ, who's able to do miracles, right? And more than that, he's able to provide food for them. So now this is what happens. Book of John says, when the people saw the sign, the feeding of 5,000, or actually more than 5,000, 20,000, some people say, right, that he had done, he said, oh, this is indeed the prophet who is to come to the world. So Jesus, perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Here's the thing. Are we sometimes acting like this followers of Christ? The people who want to make Jesus their king, my king, is because I want you to do something for me. I'm being oppressed by this Roman. I'm not able to have food and so on. No provision. Oh, I just follow you. And I get fed to the full. So sometimes we come to Christ like that too. Right? There is a desire to see what God can do for us. But I will tell you this. None of us, not these people, can make Christ king. Because he is already king. He is a king. He just needs to be recognized and identified. So the thing here is that if we come to God and look at what he can do for us, then maybe it's time for us to check ourselves and say, hey, because whenever we want to make God into something that we want to control, we will lose him. That's why he withdrew to the mountain. And that's it. And when he withdrew to the mountain, that's where we want to start looking at the scripture over here, which is from John 6, 16 to 21. But there are parallel scriptures in both Matthew 14, 22 to 33, yeah, and Mark 6, 45 to 52. Please go and look it up. We will refer to some part of it to get greater understanding of what actually transpired, right, during this sign of Jesus walking on water. By the way, Matthew 14 actually also talks about Peter walking on water, right? There's another set of lessons that we can draw from there. But today, because we want to go through the journey of the miracles, because we want to make Christ be known, we don't want to focus on Peter. We want to focus on Christ. And we want to figure out, what did Jesus do through this miracle so that we know him better, right? Amazing. We all think that the great miracle is him walking water. It's not. The greatest miracle is something that we will see later on. So let's go through this scripture, right? Verse by verse. So this is when the people want to make him king. And then verse 16 and 17 says, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum, our HQ, right? It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. So remember, Jesus sent the disciples, go, get lost, right? And then, you know, disperse the crowd, like almost like when they disperse all the traders and the sellers and the temple and so on, get lost, and he went to the mountainside. Now, of course, from the book of John, John's passage is really very concise and simple because John wanted to focus on the person of Christ, who he was, what he did at that time. But the other chapters talk more, you know, give more details. And it's interesting that if you look into both Matthew and Mark, it says a little bit, there's a bit of nuance over there. It says that immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. So there's some other translations he compelled. It's almost like, no, you go. No, Jesus, we're having so much fun. People are, you know, admiring us, and people are just, you know, giving us all these great affirmations, and we are so popular, like today, you know, everyone liking me, you know, got so many likes and so many views and so on. Are we looking after that? Jesus says, no, this will not distract me from my mission. So which is why I guess Jesus realize that there is some temptation that the disciples themselves will be caught up with this. Of course, we all do, right? We all get seduced by the material things and the success of this world. There's this danger. So he said, no, you get in the boat, right? And so they got in the boat. Now, can you see over here? Capernaum is just very close by. And they are over here. So when Jesus says, get into the boat, there's the boat, right? So the plan was go along here and end up in Capernaum. So that's what happened, right? But like everything, I think our life walking with the Lord sometimes involves getting into the boat. We don't want to get into the boat because we don't know what can happen in the sea, in the depth. And when storms come, facing storms on land is very different from facing storms in the sea. But I can tell you this, our entire journey, if we want to grow in the Lord, for that matter, if we want to grow as a human being, there are times we must get into the boat. Because you see, they are stuck on the desolated side, the isolated side of the Lake of Galilee. If they're going to get stuck there, then there's going to be a problem. No change. That's why every time we get in a boat, there is always a destination. Remember Jonah getting in the boat to go and save the people in Nineveh. There's always a place for us to go. So if we are afraid to get in the boat, it's very safe. Just stay on the shore. Everything's under control. Except when Jesus leaves, where will you be? And it's very interesting, you know, because they wanted to go to Capernaum. You will see later on that they end up in Gennesaret. And if you go to the rest of the chapters in the Bible, in the book of John, you will begin to see the amazing ministry of Jesus Christ. And I will share a little bit of that with you. So everything that we see and explore in the plan of God is so amazing. If we get down and really get to peel behind what God is doing behind, it amazes us. That's why the song we sing is amazing. If we make time to get to know Him. Unfortunately, me guilty included, sometimes we're so busy that we don't really recognize Him. So this is what happens. And then as they get on the boat, the sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. Now the Lake of Galilee is about 6 miles long. And if on a fair weather, there's no storm, there's no wind and so on, waves, it will take about an hour to cross. But you know what? As we read from this passage over here, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land. Remember they're supposed to go along the shoreline and get to Capernaum? And I can tell you, they've been rowing, and this is late at night, they've been rowing for actually 8 to 9 hours. I'm not kidding you. You know? So by which time, the boat was long way from the land. They would just want to go to the side. Beaten up by the waves, that's why. Strong wind was against them. So now sometimes you ask this question, what is going on? You know, the disciples were so obedient to Christ, right? Helping out, be the runners to feed all the 5,000, 20,000 and so on. And then when they got all this popularity kind of accolades and Jesus says, no, right? You better get into the boat and go to Capernaum, our HQ. And they followed. They're obedient. So why would Jesus give us this storm when we obey Him? And this is a question sometimes we ask ourselves, isn't it? God, what's going on? I started this life group, right? I met this girl. I prayed about it. You give me a sign that this is a girl for me. Now we're not talking. We're only messaging by WhatsApp, right? Too much to take. What's hashtag, right? You know, what's going on? I'm attending life group. I'm starting to serve the church and so on. Oh, I started this company because you open the door for me and so on. What's happening now? I'm having financial trouble. So what's the storm? Waves coming. Right? Strong waves coming. Waves of one stopping you from getting what you want. We are just in the other scripture where it says they were rowing. So their bodies were tired and sore. Are we sometimes like that facing the storms in our lives, in financial storms? And people say in 2023, we look at 2023, a lot of people are getting very worried. Storms are coming. And same thing in our lives, you know. Sometimes the storms we can kind of predict. We can figure out that some storm's coming. But I tell you, this storm that the disciples were facing, they had no clue. So I will tell you this. Christian life is not a storm-free life. I can tell you this. In fact, for all the matter, whether you know Christ or not, we all know life is uncertain. Life is out of control. This is the interesting thing about human nature. You know, you can ask everyone, what are your plans when you die? Wants to talk about this. Yeah. Okay, storm's coming, right? Yeah? Nobody wants to talk about this. But when I talk about how to achieve this goal, now nothing wrong with that. By the way, I'm a leadership trainer and a coach. I coach a lot of leaders, and I tell you, hey, the first thing you want to know in your life is know what is your personal mission. What's the thing you want to leave behind? But we focus so much on what we want, happiness, the fruits, and you know, success and money and fame and so on, and nothing wrong with that, as I said. And we're chasing after this, which is so uncertain. That means none of us can actually control the fruits that we're seeking, right? But there's one thing we're all certain. All of us, Bill Gates, whoever, how powerful, how rich, Elon Musk, the great, most innovative guy, all of us one day will meet our death, right? And yet we don't think about it. So I want to tell you this. No matter whether you know God or not, our journey on earth sometimes is like getting into a boat. Sometimes getting a boat. And we don't know what's happening. That's the thing. Look at what happened to Turkey, is it? Yeah. How do we explain this? God. You know, how do we explain this? Why is this happening there? Are you not a God of love? I can't answer all that question. We can answer why. Why did God come after 9 hours? Not 2 hours, 1 hour. Who knows? That's why these are the things that we should, I'm not saying we should try to figure out. We can never find the answer sometimes. And I will show you later on, the greatest miracle is not what Jesus did on the water when they were under a storm, but what happened after. So many times in our lives, it's after our journey on the boat, after weathering through the storms, only then our eyes are open, our hearts are transformed, and then we go at a different level of our journey. And that's what God wants for us. I know sometimes we rather say, hey, I don't want to go through that because I go through that, got more challenges come. You know? No, it's very simple. This is your choice. Nobody's forcing you. We can be the baby Christian. Just stay alongside, you know, beside her. Don't have to go out. Don't have to face the storm. We're forever safe. Stand there. Right? But that means our lives will be so immature, like a little baby. Every little thing, you know? Every little thing, we get panic. Would we want to live like, I don't know. Do we want to live a life where our peace and joy when we get up in the morning, it's really depending on everything around us? Or do we want to be someone who can get up each morning and say, because we have Christ in our boat, in our lives, it doesn't matter what happens. That is the life that God wants for us. For us to have that confidence and trust in God, that we are not tossed to and fro by the waves and so on. So I'm sorry to tell you that. You want a simple answer, how to avoid storms? I don't have the answer for you, right? We can never. So the only way, that's why all the more reason we must know who controls the storm. And we have him in our lives. That's why if you're in Turkey, what matters is, do you have Christ in the earthquake? And that's all the more reason why we should go and tell people about Christ. So that when the storms come, they are not alone. They're not alone. They don't drown. Because the sea is a dangerous place. And we have many illustrations of, life is, the world is the sea. The world is the sea. And to some extent, the boat, you know, is that vessel for us to be safe from the, you know, the draws and the distractions of the sea and so on. That's why when we're on the boat, we want to rescue people from the world. We want to make sure that the person gets into the boat and not the water. The water can get drowned. So here's the thing. There will be storms in our life. Right? We better learn to accept it. Don't go and make storms for people, okay? Don't go and create storms for people. Yeah, sometimes watch out. Am I the storm bringer? I don't know whether Marvel superhero is a storm bringer, right? That's not God's plan, all right? But we don't know the future. Only God knows. I can tell you this. I was not born in a Christian family, right? When I was young, I'm very self-confident. Or shock syndrome. Or you think you are so smart. But the more I get to know, the more I realize that I know so little. But those days, you know, you're trying to do so many things. And I realize that no matter how much confidence you have or, you know, you're just trying all this, deep down you feel that there's so many things that you are uncertain of. You always worry what happens, go wrong and so on. That's the kind of fear and uncertainty in that storm. We can't help it. But that's why the secret is, are we making sure that Jesus is in our boat, that Jesus is there. So I think the question of our life is not whether or not we want to have absence of storms, but whether we have the presence of God. I think that's the key. That's the key. That's why we're here, right? So over there, let's continue. So can you see? They wanted to go along the side and go to Capernaum, right? Probably this is less than half an hour to get there if they row. But now the winds have made them push the boat into the middle of the sea. And we read further. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, you see, halfway into the lake, into the Sea of Galilee, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. You know, the sea or the lake in those days was known to carry a connotation of a place where evil spirits are, right? Because remember the demons that were cast out and went to the pigs, and the pigs went to the lake. So that means every time they see this. Now, number one, take note, right? These people, the disciples, they are experienced fishermen, not like you and I. But we must put ourselves imagination of like, this is dark. And I think in some scripture it says that I am the fourth watch. Remember, I think Pastor has mentioned that they divide the watches into, I think, six to nine is the first watch. 9 to 12 is the second. Okay, my mess is not very good. I better be careful. Right? 1 to 3 is the third watch. So my friends, they have been rowing in the fourth watch. I don't know, right? From 3 to 6, maybe 5 a.m. 5 a.m. is the time my wife wake up. Maybe it's time I go to bed, right? Yeah, so I know I'm in that watch. But thank goodness no storm, right? So they've been rowing from 6, right? Fighting. Oh my goodness. Sometimes we do feel like that, isn't it? Oh, we've been striving for this. My education, you know, my family relationship, my finance, right? The future. So here's the thing. Again, the question, why does God allow us to go through that? We will understand a little bit better when we look at the end story. But yes, this is what they're going through. Why are they afraid? Of course, the unknown, darkness. Please imagine when you're driving in the dark and it's raining heavily. That means you barely can see what's in front of you. You barely can see what's in front of you. And then there's wind and rain and so on, and all this hitting you, and then you're tired. And by the way, remember they got 12 baskets of fish and bread, right? I think they tapos na, no more, right? They've been eating and it's all gone, and they're tired. Wow. I don't want to be in a situation like that, but sometimes I can't choose. I can't decide and say, God, take away the storm, you know? But this is where it's the amazing thing. God will come in at the right time. I think He knows when it's going to come to you. Because please imagine if they are rowing for 1 hour and then, God, come on, where's Jesus and so on? And then suddenly Jesus comes, get into the boat, and the storm is over. You know what you would think? Thanks, Jesus. I actually got it really long. Right? Between you and I think 50% was done by me. You never give credit to Christ. That is why God knows when is the time. At the fourth watch, it is the darkest hour. So my friends, I want to tell you this. You may be in the midst of beating these storms in your life, finance, health, or whatever. I don't know what it is, right? All of us have storms. If you don't have, you are having a delusional storm. You don't understand life, right? All of us, we don't look for storms. All of us are facing that. So here is the reminder. God will not leave us. He will come at the right time. Because when He comes, then there is no doubt that He is God alone. And I am willing to bow before Him and worship Him and say, God, there is no way I would have done it. And I've experienced it all of my life. You know, you can ask my wife. When I was younger, I am super extremely shy. You know, I don't do a lot. I mean, I play a bit of drums. I play the guitar. And all of this, you know, all of this, I can tell you, if not for my ministry, if not for my involvement in the church, there is no way. There is absolutely no way. I mean, I know it. So only then we truly know who God is, right? So I think this is a reminder for all of us that God will not leave us. God will not forget us, right? And you'll see later on. But here's the thing. Why do we have fear? Because we sometimes cannot recognize where God is working. We don't recognize, we cannot identify God, especially your expectation. That's the other thing, isn't it? You look at the Sea of Galilee, and you expect that only demons and whatever will come out, spirit. In fact, that's why in others, oh yeah, there you go, right? In the fourth watch, when it came, the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" And they screamed in fear, right? I remember some time back when I was flying a Firefly, you know, the small plane, because I go to KL quite a bit, and then one day there was this huge storm. Everyone is screaming because it's dropping. So my passenger, I mean, I don't know this guy beside me, but he kind of like, yeah. You see, sometimes don't look. Because you look, oh, ghost. Right? So this passenger, I don't know him, but we just close our eyes. I was praying, of course, but you know, when we don't look, then we what? And then I open my eyes to see who screamed. You cannot believe it, no? This macho guy. Holding the hand of the girlfriend. Yeah. So why? I mean, no, don't judge him, because we all have our fears. Because uncertain. What makes us fear? Unknown, dark. Right? Are the situation in your storm really dark? And then we see them. Deep waters. Are you like one wrong step and that's it, I'm dead? And the strong winds against you. That means everything that you do, you're not facing any, you don't see any results. You feel like a failure. Hey, look at the disciples. At the right time, Jesus will appear. We just have to pay attention. And here's the thing, you know, I like this second part that says, but then he said to them, who's this? And then Jesus revealed himself, right? It is I, do not be afraid. So here's the thing, it is I, actually it's a expression of the way when God, Yahweh, reveal himself to Abraham. I am. And this is the point. If you look at it, the connection right after chapter 6, you will see now Jesus describe himself as I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. And I will show you why this is so impactful, and this would be the true miracle. So I picked up this one over here. Sometimes when we look at what God is doing, we are not able to understand. We don't recognize God's workings and so on. But when he speaks, we hear his voice and we are comforted. That's why when it says that, it is I, do not be afraid. And then Peter said, oh, if it's you, okay, that's in Matthew, right? If it's you, tell me to come to you, right? So that means I want to believe in you. So that means sometimes our fears can be mitigated, can be managed when we hear the voice of God. So the voice of God is so important, you know. That's why we must get ourselves rooted in the Word of God, so that is where God's promises come. So when we are in the midst of a storm, we are facing all these waves, we don't seem to be making any progress, we are tired and so on, fearful and there's depth and so on, and then we go to the Word. I can tell you, I faced storms in my life, you know, and I never forget that when things are so overwhelming, your brain cannot think. It's like that. There's fear. You get paralyzed. You don't know what to do. And I remembered just by reading the Word, even though it doesn't speak to you, but this amazing thing. You read out, you speak out loud, and then your soul feels at rest. That is that miracle that God avails to us, right? And can you see, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. So in the case in the book of John, they say that, oh, when they got in the boat, immediately they was at land where they were going. And by the way, I think this they planned to go to Capernaum, but they actually landed up in Gennesaret. And that's where you look at in the gospel of John, there you see where this is when Jesus started to teach them a lot of insights about who he is. Remember, I'm the bread of life. And some of these teachings are really hard teachings. So that is where the real miracle comes about. It is through the storms that the disciples begin to actually believe that he is not just a prophet. He is not just someone providing bread and fish. He is not someone performing signs, but this is actually the Son of God. So imagine now if you think, oh, he's a prophet. What can I expect from him? Just some food. So what happens tomorrow? You're hungry again. But imagine if God said, I am the bread of life. If I have him, I am full. I'm contented. I have abundance. You know, I am the vine. That means if I stick close to him, I'll be productive. I'll be productive. I feel connected. I feel nourished. I don't know about you, man. I'd rather have that power in me rather than going to someone who performs miracle and staying afar. I tell you, you know, we all can sometimes follow Jesus like those followers in Bethsaida. We just follow from afar. I don't have to get involved. I don't have to go on the boat. I don't have to get Jesus to come and join my boat. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to experience the storm and then let my heart broken 1,000 pieces and then say, God, come to my boat. But those kind of experiences will transform us from within. But if we follow Jesus on the far away, we experience his blessing. I don't deny that. But we will always need to come back to replenish. So the choice is yours. Even God cannot force you. That's why we want to expose ourselves to this word so that our spirit, our mind, our heart has to make a decision. And I hope that we would follow the path of the disciples. So then, time is up. Yes? Switch off the microphone. So let me just draw four insights, because after all, our journey is to let Christ be known. I want to show you who Christ is in this storm that the disciples face. Who is Jesus in our storms? And we can draw some insights. Number one, who is Jesus in our storm? He is above our storms, right? So we do not fear storms. Because we are fearful, it's because we look at the storms, and these storms are powerful and uncontrollable, and we have no, you know, control whatsoever over the storm. But if we look to the Creator, the Maker, He owns the storm. So if that's why there's a song, right? With Christ in my boat, or in the vessel, right? Singing is not my gift, of course, right? Or memory, or neither, right? We can smile in the storm. We can smile in the storm. That's so true, right? And if you look at this verse over here, wow! Remember that prior to the canon of the Bible, they only had the Old Testament, and in Psalm 77, 16, it said, when the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, listen, they were afraid, and the deep trembled. So that means the elements, when they see God, okay, sir, what do you want? Walk on me. By the way, the Greek word for Jesus walking on water, you're going to look it up, is actually the word that describes strolling. It is I, right? But for us, it's like, you remember the storms waving now. Imagine, he just goes and just take a walk. Why? Because as it says, you know, the waters were afraid. I own you. Let me walk. And can you say over here, your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, and yet your footprints were unseen. That means when we go through this storm, these waters and so on, we don't understand where God is going to take us. But He is in control. Don't try to question God so much. This is our problem. When I'm in a storm, I want to go to Capernaum. But Christ said, no, you go to Gennesaret. No, I want Capernaum. More excitement there, right? There's all this fun and the TikTok is there, everyone's there. I want there. So this is our problem. And then God puts in a storm and said, that's better for you. But we don't like it. You know? We don't like it. That's why we don't understand. So I can tell you this. Yes, we can ask God. And if God doesn't give an answer, we just have no trust. Because here it says that His path through the water is unseen. Even He doesn't want to let you know. How can you know? I wish I know everything. Bitcoin and so on, then you can make money. But there are things unseen. Right? Bitcoin can also become a storm for us if we're not careful. By the way, there are two types of storms. One storm is a storm of correction. That means sometimes we're not so wise, and I've been there. We're not so wise. We don't understand. We make decisions on our own. Pride, ego, flow with the crowd, right? Follow Jesus from a distance. And then sometimes we end up in the places where we shouldn't be. So the storms come is so that we get corrected on the right path. And it's done because God wants the best for us. God knows what we need the most. Let's not fight. Let's not be stubborn. Let's just say, God, I don't understand this. But I know you. You are, as you say, I am the good shepherd. You care for me. I don't understand this, but there's nowhere else I'd rather be than to be here with you. Because I don't believe anybody out in the world has got that kind of love and care for me. Right? Even I know my wife loves me a lot, but she doesn't love me as much as God loves me. Right? So he will first. Sorry, yeah. Tonight got no dinner. Right? Okay. Be very careful. She never preached in front of your wife. Right? So here's the number one, we are, you know, Jesus is above the storm. That means all of your fears, right? All of your fears, your worry and so on, don't focus on that. Look to God and ask God, God, come, right? Come to me. And ask yourself, what do I need to learn from this storm? Number two, Jesus sees the storm. Oh, this is so important. Because remember, the disciples in a fourth hour, fifth hour and so on, they are so discouraged. They feel like complete failure. They feel like there's no light at the end. Or no light at all. Completely no light, right? It's so dark and so on. Where is this? How long is it going to last? Are we going to die and so on? But I want to tell you this. No matter how dark your storms are, Jesus sees us. Imagine, he's miles away on the hill, mountainside praying. And he can see. How? Because he's God. If all this Marvel superhero can see, what more about God? Right? So sometimes, I tell you, it's very strange, right? These human beings. Recently, I came across an article. There was this experts and scientists, I think of Israel and so on, and they tried to make a description of how Jesus walked on water. So this is quite interesting because they did not deny that he walked on water. So it's quite, you know, these are secular people. So say, oh, the scientists and the experts looking at geographical map and so on, they have now have a possible, right, a possible answer how Jesus walked on water. So I was actually quite encouraged to say that they did not deny that he did not walk on water. So they acknowledged he walked on water. Okay, I thought for a minute my earbud, right? Yeah. And you know what they said? Oh, looking at all the geographical, they said there was some ice in the storm. It's more deadly, man. But you see, that's why I say human beings, when we try to understand our Creator, we're wasting our time. We don't understand. His paths are unseen. So this is what I want all of us to remember, me included, that when you're going through the storms, when things are dark, and remember this story, that Jesus sees us and he knows the right time to come to us. Because I can tell you this, if he came any earlier, the disciples may not see Christ the way they see him after this. Because they will say, oh yeah, I'm such a smooth operator. You know, I've been how many years in rowing, right? Yeah, the storm is great, but I row a bit. And then, yeah, you came. But I did it. So that's why I would say that keep close to God. Hear his word. Because when we look about storms, it's like God has a plan for us. I think it's over here, right? God has a plan for us. No, we are human. We are mere mortals. Sometimes we make some not so wise decision. We must be open to that and say, hey, you know, if I make the step, I did this thing and I end up with a bit of trouble, maybe the storms that is happening is because God cares for me and God wants me to go on the right track. Or sometimes it's not like the disciples, they obeyed Christ, they did everything God, but it is a storm of perfection. Look at Joseph. Look at this guy. Right? He was sold as a slave, worked in a house of Mr. and Mrs. Potiphar. And Mrs. Potiphar, like Kim Kardashian, tried to make a move on him. And he did the right thing. No. And what happened? He got jailed. But all this is to perfect him so that he reached his destination. So the question is, where is the destination that God wants you to take on that boat? And you should find that one out. Because I don't want to be left on the shores of Bethsaida. Because I tell you, Jesus, after he went to the mountain, he don't need the boat. He just appeared in the water, jumped on the boat, and then got the other side. Action is next in Gennesaret. So that's where all the change and the growth is, you know. And we, you and I, if we refuse to take the boat, we'll get stuck. And that area is isolated, desolated. There's no city there. We will die of starvation. So why would we want to make that decision? The choice is yours. No one can make it. Only you can. I hope that we will be wise and ask God to make us. And number three, Jesus speaks to us in our storms, right? So number one, God is over all of our storms. It's just that we forget. We must change our thinking. We must believe that God is the creator of the universe. So therefore, he is in control of our storm, number one. Once our mind is changed, number two is that we are not alone. Don't be afraid. You are not alone. You can feel confident in Christ. So now your heart is changed. Number three is that in order for us, one, then we must listen and follow him. So now it's our action. See how we change? God changes our mind, fills us with confidence in our heart, and now we must obey what he calls us to do. That's why we must understand what he wants for us. Hear his voice. Hear his voice, because there's so many voices out there. When you're in a storm, what do you do? Go self-up group, go to your friends and so on. There's all these noises out there. I like to compare, if you're an engineer, right? It's a signal to noise. There are a lot of noise around, but if you tune the right frequency and then you hear music. So make sure that you tune into God's frequency. And that's where the confidence. Remember, when we see Christ sometimes, we don't recognize him, we get afraid. But when we hear his voice, when we read his word, we have confidence. And this is why I strongly suggest that get involved, in the journey of discipleship in every nation, right? One-on-one, purple bowl, spiritual family, get involved in life group. Because when we are in a storm, we all want people to remind us of God's promises for us, right? God sees us. And I think sometimes we should also see each other. We see somebody in a storm, pray for them, right? Guide them, remind them, journey with them, get in the boat with them so that they're not alone, right? Jesus speaks to us. And finally, this is what I love. Jesus transforms us in our storm. I think that is the true miracle, because that miracle will help us understand who Christ is. So can you see over here? This is from the later part of the book of John. Because remember, he ended up in Gennesaret and he started to teach and preach, and that's where he has his heart teaching. I'm the bread. You take this bread and you have eternal life. And so many of disciples, we only know that 12 disciples, but there are many people following Jesus from a distance. They are all disciples, followers his way. And when many of his disciples heard his heart teaching, this is heart saying, who can listen to this? And after this, many of his disciples turned away. Can you see? The storm will help us to decide whether we want to go full in with Christ. Where we want to mature, like I said, we can live a life where tossed to and fro, always very worried, I don't know what's happening. It's true. 2023, you don't have Christ, you're so worried. Facebook is cutting down staff, and this one is going to impact all of us. But if I have Christ, it doesn't matter. I don't know what it is, but he will bring me through. And I know, if I stay in there, the disciples do not jump into the lake and die. Keep rowing, no matter how hard it is. You stick in there with God, and at the right time, he will bring us to the destination. And that's where you go to the next level of growth. Can you see over here? So many of the disciples turn back and no longer walk with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go as well? Very sad. Please, And you know who said? Simon Peter. Simon Peter in the book of Matthew, he was the one, God, if it's you, call me, right? Ask me to walk. So sometimes we always laugh at Simon, I talk so much, I see drown, right? Are you focusing on? But dude, he is the one to listen, obey, and act. That's why he speaks up and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. You see, now I'm not looking at the storms. Peter is saying that, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be persecuted. I'm going to want, but you know what? Where can I go? Who do I want to be? I want to be with you. It's the same thing that I would want suggest to all of us for me. That I don't know where my future is, how long I'm going to be on earth, how long I'm going to live, what kind of storms, illness, sickness, finance and so on. I have no idea. But I can face the future with great certainty. And remember I said that, here's the other thing I must say. In another scripture, it actually says that when Jesus appeared, he just said, it's I. And then you know what it says? He meant to pass them by. That means he could just say, okay, follow me, the boat. Right? Keep it on from afar. But when the disciples say, come, this is when the disciples say, you know, come into the boat. That means sometimes when Jesus appears and speaks to us, he won't push his way into us. We must invite him into our boat. And that is when the storms will come. All of your pain, struggles, sense of failure, storms and waves and so on, it will die. It will come down. So here's the thing that I think the true transformation, that we allow Christ to come into our lives so that he calms down the storms inside of us. All of us are fearful inside, not at the storms, just at life generally, uncertain future. And that's the greatest miracle. We're going to come to life, that's where the storm comes down. And look here, right after this, there are. I think we did a series before on the why I am, right? I'm the bread of life. I nourish you. I provide for you. I'm the life of the world. I show you where the places to walk and so on. Lightness, where I'm the door, right? You come into my pen and I protect the enemies from harming you. I am the good shepherd. I can trust him. He has the greatest love and care for me. I am the resurrection and the life. You know, I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of death because I know that Christ have overcome death. I am the way, the truth, the life. He is the only way, and I am the vine. If we want to be productive and fruitful, let us connect with them. And go and take a look. All of these are actually from the rest of the chapter of the book of John. So, my friends, the greatest miracle is not Jesus walking on water. The greatest miracle is actually the realization and the revelation of who God is to his disciples. And I hope that we all can draw these lessons and we ourselves cross over that lake and actually sort of embrace that revelation that, wow, I need God in my life, in my boat, not just coming to church and just listening, paying my tithes and so on, and following Jesus from afar. Nothing wrong with that. You still get a blessing, but the true meaning and abundance of life that God wants for you is when you have Christ in your boat. So there you have it. Jesus is above our storms. He sees us through our storms. He speaks to us. He transforms. As the musician comes up, let us bow our heads and let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your reminder that you are such an amazing God, that you are the creator of the universe, that you own every element on earth. Lord, with that knowledge, we have that confidence to face any storm, any journey. Father, I want to pray for everyone over here. If you know that God is speaking to you, you're going through a storm, don't have to tell anyone. Some of the storms that your friends and your family or your relatives may know, but there are some storms where only you are going through alone. I want to tell you this, God knows. God sees you, and God is over your storm. And all we have to do is, as we learn from the disciples, is that do not quit, do not give up hope, and that continue to put our eyes on him and hear him, follow him faithfully. If you today you want prayer for that, you say, God, I'm in a storm, I want to invite you to come into my boat, I want to be with you, I want you to be in my storm. If you're that person, you can quickly put your hands up and put it down, and we'd like to pray for you and with you. Hallelujah. Who would like to reach out to God and say, God, come into my boat and calm the storm? Hallelujah. Especially for those of us, you do not know God. This is the first time you are here, or first time you're hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. You have not accepted Jesus into your heart, and today you come to realize, yes, it's so true. Life is so uncertain. I have no control over my life and future, and I want to have that certainty. I want to receive Jesus in my life. If you want to accept Christ this morning, we're more than happy to pray with you. If you are that, put your hands up. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you indeed, Lord, for your goodness, for who you are our good shepherd. And we pray that today, when we walk out this place, we will see you in a different light, that you are the Lord God Almighty, and that you have the words of eternal life. Father, I commit this congregation to your hands, and I pray that you will bless them, your face will shine upon them, and that you will be able to keep them under your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.